Tonight, I want to talk to you again about Thanksgiving. I want to use this event where Jesus went into this home and the parable that he told in Simon the Pharisee's home, and I want us to think about Thanksgiving. There's two groups of people that are represented in this story, the grateful and the ungrateful. Of course, Simon the Pharisee represents the ungrateful, and the woman, who is unnamed, represents the grateful. And I want to look at her, and she was a very grateful woman. She was a very thankful woman. And tonight I want to mention some reasons why she was. As I read this story, I've often thought, I wonder why Simon invited Jesus into his home. It said there in verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him or asked him that he would come and eat with him. It certainly wasn't like Matthew. You remember when Matthew invited Jesus into his home, he invited a bunch of friends. He had just gotten saved, he's just gotten called by Christ, and he wanted his friends to meet Jesus so that they could get saved too. There's no indication that Simon invited any of his friends. It wasn't like Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus, in fact, Jesus sort of invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. But it wasn't the same kind of situation, because in that situation, Zacchaeus was looking for Christ. He wanted to meet Christ, and that's why he climbed that sycamore tree so he could get high. And when Jesus came to the foot of that tree and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to go home with you and eat dinner today," Zacchaeus rejoiced because he was looking for the Savior. There's no indication that Simon was looking to get saved. And so why did he invite Jesus into his home? I mean, was it curiosity? Did he want to trap him? I mean, there's no indication that he did anything to do that. But there's nothing in the story that indicates that Simon was changed when Jesus came into his home. There's no indication that he was saved. There's no indication that he even inquired what it was to be a Christian. And so I'll ask you the question, have you invited Jesus into your home for your Thanksgiving? Is he going to be with you on Thursday, wherever you are, to celebrate Thanksgiving? And let me ask you, why is he going to be there? Is he going to be there because, well, we're a Christian and it's our duty to include Christ in everything we do, and so we're going to include him because we're supposed to? Are we going to include him because, you know, our mom or our dad are going to be there, our grandparents are going to be there, and, you know, they're Christian in everything they do, and so we're going to make sure Jesus is involved because they're there? Or are we going to invite him into our homes by way of our hearts because we want to thank him for what he's done for us? We want to express our gratitude. And of course, we ought to invite him for the last reason. So Simon invited him. I want you to notice that he extended to Jesus, and I mentioned this morning, he extended to Jesus none of the common courtesies that existed in that day. He gave him no water to wash his feet. Now, Sam asked me today, if you wash, do you use water? No, you don't use water, you use water. And I told him, I've tried to say that word right, and it's impossible. I have been preconditioned. I cannot say wash any other way than wash. So he gave him no water to wash his feet. He gave him no kiss to welcome him into his home, as was the custom. He gave him no oil to anoint his head. He treated him more like an uninvited guest than he did an invited guest. And again, I want to ask you tonight, if you invite Jesus to come to your Thanksgiving celebration, how will he be treated? How will we fit him in among the feasting and the football and the family games and the family conversation? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if on Thursday we practice what we sang about this morning in Sunday school when we sang that little song, "Let's Talk About Jesus." The King of Kings is here. The Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. It wouldn't hurt us to spend some time Thursday talking about our Savior. It wouldn't hurt us to spend some time Thursday praising His name. It wouldn't hurt us to spend some time Thursday reminding ourselves and everybody who sits at the table that He is the source of every good and perfect gift. Now, not only did he not extend the common courtesies to Jesus, I want you to look at the attitude that he had toward Christ. It said in verse 39, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden saw the woman coming in and washing Jesus' feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, anointing his feet with the ointment, he spake within himself saying," this Pharisee said to himself, "this man, if he were a prophet," if he really was a prophet, if he really was what he implies that he is, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Simon was saying, he's not a prophet. He's proclaimed himself to be the Christ, but this woman is a sinner. He should have never let her touch him. I wonder how many people, I'm not talking to you tonight because you're the Sunday night crowd, but I wonder how many people will not invite Jesus Christ to their Thanksgiving celebration because they don't believe who he is. They don't believe he's done what this book said he's done. They don't believe that he has the power to change their lives. I want you to see what a wonderful privilege Simon had. To have the Son of God in his home. Every person here tonight, I can say this unequivocally. I can say this with all confidence. Every person here tonight, if we had the opportunity to have Jesus Christ in our home, we would welcome him. He would be a welcome guest. He would get the best seat to sit in. You'd serve him your best dish. You would treat him as royalty because that's who he is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we would welcome. Now, again, that's my introduction. I want to look at this woman. She exhibited great thankfulness. She gives us a pattern for great thankfulness, and I want to mention five things about her. Number one, great thanks comes from great forgiveness. Great thanks come from people who know that they have been greatly forgiven. Here's what Jesus said to Simon. He said, "Simon, I have something to say to you. I want to tell you a story." And again, this is under the category of a parable. He said there were two men. They both owed money. One owed 500 pence and the other owed 50. They didn't have money to pay. And the guy that they owed money to forgave their bill in total, forgave them both in total. Tell me, which one of the forgiven will love the man that forgave their debt the most? Which one will love him most? And Simon said, "I suppose the one who was forgiven most." And Jesus says, "Thou hast rightly judged." Here's what Jesus was saying. Simon, you're a Pharisee. You're the kind that prays in the temple that says, "I'm glad I'm not like other people. I keep the law. I tithe. I stay clean. I don't let sin into my life." As a result, Simon, you don't see much forgiveness because you don't think you need much forgiveness. This woman is a sinner. She hasn't always kept the law. She hasn't always tithed. She hasn't always stayed clean. She realizes what a sinner she is, and as a result, she realizes how great her forgiveness was. The more that we realize that we are great sinners, the greater our thankfulness will be, because the more we will realize how greatly we've been forgiven. You may say tonight, "Well, preacher, I'm not so bad. I may not have the right attitude all the time, and I may not always treat people as kind as I should, and there's sometimes I say things that I shouldn't, but I'm not so bad. Okay, I should be wearing my black suit. Okay, Mr. Pharisee. Okay, Mrs. Pharisee. I'll just tell you tonight, you won't have great thanks. Who will have great thanks? The one who remembers James 2:10, where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." I tell a lie. I'm not as kind as I should be. I don't have the right attitude all the time. In God's sight, I'm just as guilty as a murderer. I'm just as guilty as a thief. I'm just as guilty as an adulterer. Who will have great thanks? The one that remembers that verse from Isaiah that says, all our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. Who will have great thanks? The one that remembers that all the good that I can do in God's sight are like rags wrapped around the leper's sores that sucks up the pus, thrown through the ground, gathers the dust of the ground, and is a filthy, vile rag. And in God's sight, all the goodnesses that we can offer up to him on our behalf are like those rags. Who will have great thanks? Those that remember Romans 3, where the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand it. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Who will have great thanks? The one who says, like Paul did in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The one who will have great thanks is the one who will recognize that they are a vile, wicked sinner, filthy in the sight of God, with no redeeming qualities, yet they were loved and forgiven by God Almighty. He sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to a cross to die for our wicked sin. Who will have great thanks? The one who realizes they have been greatly forgiven. And you may not realize it tonight, but you and I fall into that category. We have been greatly forgiven. Amen. Number two, great thanks expresses itself spontaneously. We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school. This woman heard that Simon had invited Jesus to his house. She heard that Jesus had accepted that invitation. She came in to Simon's house to give him thanks. The custom of the day allowed her to do that. She didn't have to be pushed to do it. She didn't have to work up her gratitude. When she heard that Jesus was close to her, she came and she thanked him. Giving thanks to God is just not something that we do on Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God is just not something that we should do on Sunday. Giving thanks to God ought to be bubbling up in our soul all the time. And when we see something that reminds us how good God is, it just ought to be a spontaneous happening that we praise and thank God. When we get up in the morning, some of you get up this early and see the sunrise. Some of you don't. You haven't seen a sunrise for a long time. It still comes up early in the morning. Not as early as it used to, but it still comes up. But, and I'm being facetious, I'm not trying to be mean tonight. But listen, when we look at the sunrise, or we look at a sunset, and we see the beauty that God paints in the sky, it ought to be a spontaneous reaction. Isn't God good? When we see a little baby, I saw a little baby at the restaurant today where we went, just a wee little one sitting over in the corner with his or her mom. I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. Didn't have enough hair for me to tell. I said, isn't God good? The giver of precious, precious life. Isn't God good? And we see when we see the colors that he paints with the leaves, when we see the colors that he paints with the flowers, when we look around and see his goodness, we ought not to have to work up our gratitude. We ought not to say, hey, I ought to thank God for that. We ought to just thank him. It ought to be bubbling in our heart. We ought to remember that we have a God that, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, is good. He's good in his nature. And because he's good in his nature, what he does is good. And every time we see the goodness of God, we ought to thank him. We ought to be like the old-time prophet who said, I tried to hold it in, and it was like a burning fire in my soul. And when the harder I tried to hold it in, the harder it tried to get out, I just got to let it out. That's the way we ought to praise him. Number three, great thanks expresses itself outwardly. I mean, it takes action. She came to Jesus. The Bible says she stood behind him. She was reminded as she thought, I am a great sinner. I am loved by a great God. He has offered me great forgiveness, and her thanks took the form of tears. Not just a few, not just one or two tears, but enough tears to wash his feet. Enough tears to get his feet so wet that she had, and I'll talk about this in a minute, but enough tears to get his feet so wet that they needed drying off. I mentioned this morning, we're too reserved. We're too quiet in expressing our thanks to God. We yell and scream about things that don't have any eternal value. But when it comes to expressing our thanks to the one that saved us for all eternity, we're too quiet, we're too shy, and we're too backwards. Sometimes it takes the form of tears. Sometimes it takes that joyful noise that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes it takes the form of acts of kindness that we do for other people, because as we do it unto them, we're doing it unto the Savior. Our thanks needs to come out. It needs to be expressed. Number four, great thanks expresses itself humbly. It has a sense of lowliness. For a woman to untie her hair in public indicated a deep sense of humiliation. To use it as a towel to dry someone's feet indicated her servitude to the Savior. I wonder how many times our pride keeps us from expressing our thanks to God. I wonder how many times we think, oh, I can't express my thanks to God because of the way I want to, because I'm afraid what somebody might think. I'm afraid that they might think less of me, that they might think I'm too emotional. They might think that I don't have it all together if I just let loose and thank God the way I want to thank God. Well, just hang what other people think. Don't you worry about what other people think. Your thanks is between you and God. Don't let somebody stand in the way. Don't let your pride get in the way of praising God the way that you feel that you should and the way that you know that you should. Doesn't matter what other people think. In fact, maybe they need to see your expression of thanks to get them to turn to God and receive him too. And then number five, great thanks expresses itself sacrificially. We read about this alabaster box of ointment. Many times, a woman's total wealth was contained in that alabaster box. Many times, her total dowry, many times, her total, the total of everything she had in the world, it was in a bottle like that. And she came and she poured it on Jesus' feet. She expressed her gratitude by giving the very best that she had. The very best that she had. I wonder, would you give the dearest thing in your life to express your gratitude to God? I mean, just think about it. Think about it. What's the dearest thing in your life? Would you be willing to give that as thanks to God. Great thanks says, Lord, it's all yours. I'm holding nothing back. Here's the dearest thing that I have. I'm giving it to you, saying thanks. And so I ask you again tonight, have you invited Jesus to celebrate Thanksgiving with you? I know he can't be there physically, but I wonder if we'll include him in our celebration. And I wonder if we'll give great thanks like this lady did. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this pattern of thanks that we see in this sinner. Don't know her name. Don't know much about her at all. Except we do know this. She loved the Savior. She loved him. And that love took expression. And what an example she is to each of us of what it should be to be thankful to our Savior. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's not sure they're saved, there's somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray would you help them tonight see that they too are a great sinner. They may be a good person and they may do good things, but Father, help us to understand that in your sight all of our goodness doesn't amount to anything. All of our righteousness doesn't amount to anything. We're still sinners, and that sin separates us from you. And tonight I pray, Father, if there's somebody here like that, they could see the Savior on the cross. They could see him hanging there, and they could see the blood that he shed to pay for their sins. And tonight, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring them to Jesus. I pray you'd help them understand that he's the only hope that they have. No man comes to the Father but by him. But if they come, he'll receive them. He'll save them. He'll forgive their sins. He'll give them a home in heaven. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here tonight that's not sure that they've done that, they will come tonight and make sure. Speak to our hearts as Christians. What a good God you are. You are the source of all of every good and perfect gift. We don't deserve it. Help us to realize that. That in spite of ourselves, you love us and you bless us. Help us to be grateful. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.